Parshas Matos Masei, I'd like to focus on this year, a very important parasha of the Ori Miklot. End of Parshas Masei, Perek Lamed Hei, mentions to us the Chiyuvim of Ori Miklot. Strangely enough, if you look in the parasha, the introduction to Ori Miklot is in the parasha of giving the Levim the Chelek. If you look in Pasuk Vav, yeah, Perek Lamed Hei Pasuk Vav, Ve'es ha'horim asher titnu levi'im, es sheish orei hamiklot asher titnu lo neshama ritzeach, included in the what's given to levi'im are the six cities as orei miklot, asher titnu lo neshama haritzeach, that the ritzeach should run there, v'aleihem titnu aboi m'shtai me'on, that you should give another 42 cities. Now, do we know anything about Ori Miklot until stage? What Ori Miklot means, how it works, who goes there? Nothing. Until later on in Pasuk Tes, Vadaba Hashem Moshe Lemoir, Daba B'nei Yisrael Matalin Ki Atam Oivin Sayadim Asaknon, then you should have Ori Miklot. So the Zayin Torah points out straight away, when the Parsha talks about the Ori Miklot, it seems to be given to us, we don't even know what Ori Miklot is. We have no idea what this is. Only later on it starts talking about it. So why start talking about the Parsha of what the Levim get, and part of what the Levim get is Ori Miklot, when in fact it should have probably been done a lot better by talking about Ori Miklot and then saying, and by the way, those six cities that Ori Miklot belong to the Levim. But there's a lot more very mysterious in the whole element over here of how the Torah introduces a Ori Miklot, and that is, the Torah says very clearly, Ashalonu Shama Haritzeach, that the Ritzeach runs there. That isn't so difficult to understand, because a lot of Rishonim explain that Ritzeach in this context means that a Ritzeach, a person who killed intentionally or unintentionally, both go to the Ori Miklot. The one who was killed intentionally gets schlepped out and killed in Beis Din. And the one who we find out and we determine that was killed, that killed, B'shegeg remains. So they're both Ritzeach run there, but that's not the big deal. Later on in the parasha, where we're clearly talking about the Hoirig B'shegeg, where a person only killed somebody B'shegeg, it says, Kol maken nefesh b'shkogo, a person who hits only B'shegeg, and this person, V'yomus Ritzeachu, and then it says later on, the Pasuk says, Goel hadam hu yomus asa Ritzeach, the Pasuk calls him a Ritzeach, a murderer, again and again and again, and here we're talking about clearly the person who only killed somebody unintentionally. Ask the Balei Musa. End of the day, it was unintentional. End of the day, the person did it. He was just fixing his roof. He fell down off his ladder and he killed somebody. Why is he a Ritzeach? Why is he considered a murderer? And since he is considered a murderer, we find incredibly harsh punishment given to this person. We don't find anywhere else that a person who does something b'shegeg gets anywhere near this kind of harsh punishment. A person who mechal Shabbos b'shegeg brings a korban. He killed somebody b'shegeg. That's all he did. He didn't had no intention to do what he did. Totally unintentional. And yet we find that he's got to go to Ori Miklot. He's got to leave behind his family. He's got to leave behind his friends. He's got to close his business and move to Ori Miklot. Not only that, if he steps one foot out of there, the Goel Hadam has not only a right, but according to some opinions, an obligation to kill him. Why is he open and susceptible to being killed if all he did was a Maisa B'shegeg? What did he do so wrong? Why is he called a Ritzeach? Why does he leave his home and his family have to go over there? What did he do so bad? Furthermore, the Gemara says, Shom, he should be over there. Shom Tehei Misosoi, Shom Tehei Kvurosoi. If the idea over here is to, in order to save the Ritzeach from being killed, why is it the halacha that even after he dies, he may not leave the Ori Miklot? He's got to remain in the Ori Miklot, and he dies there, and he gets buried there. Why? There's very little he could do to him, the Goel Hadam could do to him after that. So why is there halacha over here, Shom Tehei Misosoi, Shom Tehei Kvurosoi? What is the fault that we are blaming so strongly over here by the Ritzeach B'shegeg? One more question, and this is a very, very famous question. The Gemara says that in Eva Hayarden there were 2.5 tribes. There was Reuven, God, and half of the tribe of Manasseh. took Eva Hayarden, took across the Yarden, and the Eretz Yisrael proper, Transjordan, yeah, Eretz Yisrael proper had all the rest of the tribes, 9.5 tribes. Okay? Says the Gemara still, Eva Hayarden took 3 of the Ir Miklot, and Eretz Yisrael took the other 3 of the Ir Miklot. Asks the Gemara, why is it that 9.5 tribes, which is obviously far more populous, far more people, took 3 of the Ir Miklot, and the Eva Hayarden, only 2.5 tribes, took the other 3? So as Naima Torah says, because it's got to be fair, it's got to do with distance, not got to do with population, that is his teretz, right? But the Gemara answers, the reason why we needed so many Ir Miklot in Eva Hayarden is because... What does it say? It says, "Esholish or intidna be'eva yardin lamad heyudalad," because begilad shechicha roitzchim. Yeah, in Gilad there are roitzchim. Obvious question.
Why dafka Gilad?
Okay, happens to be a place of very bad education.
The Torah Shmuel. Said it beforehand, though.
What's that?
Since the Torah set it up, that means. The people going to Gilad are kind of stuck with their mazel.
Okay, that's a good question, beyond the element of Bechira.
Where is Gilad?
Gilad is Eva Hayarden.
In the Bashan.
Yeah, and therefore because in Gilad there had a lot of Reitzchim, that's why they needed more Ir Miklot. Shmuel, what's the obvious question? Who's the Ir Miklot for? For Reitzchim?
Shoigigim.
For Shoigigim! It's not there for murderers. It's done for Shogigim. And therefore, just because Gilad had murderers, yeah, these people are mafia guys, they're hitmen, they're mobsters, yeah, that's why we needed more Ir Miklot. Ir Miklot was not for these people. Ir Miklot was for people who totally had no intention of killing, yeah, and these were what Ir Miklot was for. So what does the Gemara answer? But Gilad shchicha roitzchim. So the Marshal asked a question, the Maral asked a question, what's Peshat? So I want to answer. Correct. According to that shitter, the question is not as strong, because if you say that both the Mazer and the Shogig go there, then and the Chalama. Yeah, it's clear. It's correct. The Medayik from this that according to the fact that the Marsha asked this question, he seems like he doesn't hold that this shitter they both go there and you get taken to regular based in and then you go the Shogig can run away. Okay. So let me open this up with a very very beautiful vort from Moshe Feinstein. It's a Yisoyos Digger vort. The pasuk says, "Lamed Hey Lamed Gimel." The pasuk there describes the din that you're not allowed to take blood money. Let's say this person was a very, very wealthy man. The Hoyreg, the murderer of Beshogi, was a very wealthy man. And he's willing to give a very good compensation to the family. And we'll give you $10 million. I'm very sorry, here's $10 million. You can really look after your family. You can look after your children and grandchildren. Let me stay at home. Don't kill me. We'll sign a contract. I'll give you money. You leave me alone. Are you allowed to do that? Says the Pasuk, no. Do not be sachnifu esa'oretz. What's the literal translation of sachnifu? So Rashi tries to say, "V'lo tarshi'u." Do not make it look bad. What does sachnifu mean? How do you translate the word sachnifu? What's the source of that word?
Chanifa.
Chanifa means
flattery.
V'lo sachnifu esa'oretz means what? You shouldn't take a steamroller. Don't do chanifus, don't flatter the ground. How does chanifus come in here? How does flattery have to do with the din? They sachnifu eretz, not do flattery to the oretz, asha atobo, where you are, ki adam hu yachnif es oretz, because the blood is machnif the oretz, is flattery to the oretz. What flattery is of it? I can fully understand, like Rashi Peshat Yarshiu means, don't take blood money. By the way, the Talmud Das, Ramosha Sternbuch says, that part of the blood money that we're referring to over here is don't think a person can do whatever they want and come to a moysen, come to a yeshiva or come to a shul and give his blood money to tzedakah. And HaKadosh Baruch says, oh, you gave money to tzedakah, everything's fine. No, Hashem doesn't want that kind of money. Okay? But he said, what is over here that Asher Moshe Feinstein, lashon of chanifus? How does chanifus fit in over here with not taking money for blood money? And listen to this very, very carefully. Said Moshe, that there is a fundamental argument over here in idea, in ideology, between the Western world, I wouldn't say the Western world, the entire world, and the way the Torah values human life. Unfortunately, I was very close and a very good friend who passed away not so long ago, and he was really fighting for his life. He was on a life support machine, and watching him suffer was very, very difficult to see. Very difficult to see. His kidney stopped working, and then there was water retention, and he got bloated. Very difficult to see. It really is very painful to see. And this person had a relative who came, and not religious, and she could not understand what purpose there was for her brother to suffer. What purpose was there for this person, for the brother to suffer and go through this? Obviously, he was unconscious. He was on a machine that helped him breathe.
Respirator.
He was on a respirator. He was hooked up to different machines. And the argument was, what quality of life is he going to have? What is the point of keeping him going? If there's any possibility of him coming back, enjoying life, recovering, one can understand. But at this stage in life, what purpose is there to keep him going? And the answer is, it's very difficult to answer that question. He'll never enjoy a nice cold glass of Coke. And if Coke is Tam HaChayim, as they advertise, and therefore what is the point of keeping him going? You're just making him suffer. It's not a difficult... their perspective, it seems to be correct. Now, there's a concept of euthanasia. What is that? There's one, I forgot his name, is a senator in the United States, who said very clearly that these old people, old sick people who are living in a state where they're being helped upon with medications and with machinery, should step aside and leave the money that it costs to keep them going to a generation where they will enjoy life. Why are they bugging our machines? Why are they using our taxpayers' money in order to... To keep on an existence, keep on a life they're going to have very little pleasure from, very little enjoyment from. You know, there's a certain concept of not helping a terminally ill patient, not helping a mentally ill patient, and this, Rahmanul Itzlan, can take itself to the furthest degree of building a super nation, an Aryan nation, where everyone is perfect. And if you get rid of the people who are unperfect, you get rid of the midgets, you get rid of the people who are mentally deficient, you get people who are physically deficient, mm-hmm. and build a master race. Why? Because their value in the world, to various different levels, don't have to go as far as Nazism, but the levels of how a person is appreciated as a human being is how much he can contribute to society. How much is he contributing to society? In other words, perfectly understandable that we forbid murder, as a Mishnah says, because if one allowed murder, then how much, you know, what the chances of me getting away with living a good, pleasurable, enjoyable life? And therefore you can't allow murder because everyone will disturb me. And therefore I say I can't murder either because either you shouldn't murder me. But ultimately, it's all about furthering the quality of life of society in general. And therefore if there's no reason to go forward with that, get rid of them. It's a waste of money. That is the way the world sees the importance of human life, is how much they contribute to human society and how much human society is able to give them back. How much do they enjoy the experience? With Torah, we have a chiyuv to even be mechal Shabbos, which is to us one of the most choshev mitzvahs, for even for chaye shah, even a person going to live for another couple of hours, there's a chiyuv to be mechal Shabbos. There's a chiyuv to be mechal Shabbos for a person who's very, very old and frail, for a person ever who's mentally deficient, a person who's not going to have a quality of life. Why is that? Because we value a human being not because what he's giving to society and neither what society is giving him. We value a human being because in the end of the day, he is chelek elokai mimal. He is a tzelem elokim. He is a godly figure. And we appreciate and we value and we treasure godliness. A human being represents godliness, and therefore, irrelevant whether how much he's going to enjoy life or contribute back to society, he is kadosh. A human being is holy. And therefore we're going to keep that holiness in this world as long as possible, in order to retain that holiness. As long as we have it, we will push for this holiness to remain as long as possible. And therefore we don't do something that will in any way shorten that holiness and bring it to its terminate it any time early. Says Rav Moshe, Leisachnifu es ha'oretz over here, there's chanifus, what's oretz? Oretz in this context means civilization. Oretz means the earth. In other words, there's a certain chanifus to the earth if you look at the world and you say, you know what? Let's pay money. In other words, this person's gone already. Let's deal with civilization in a way that's going to contribute or take back. Sachnifu es ha'oretz means that there's a hashkofa over here that let's give money. The person's dead already. Yeah. So ultimately, what's missing over here? How much he can enjoy life? Let's give the family the enjoyment of life. Let's give them back some money that this person could have possibly enjoyed. The Torah says that is chanifa ha'aretz, le sachnifas ha'aretz. When you sachnifas ha'aretz means you're telling us that civilization is a monetary value. It's about enjoyment. It's about something you can measure up in a value of how much money is this worth? How much enjoyment was lost or not? That is sachnifa es aretz. You are giving flattery to the civilization. You're saying a civilization is what gives a human being human value. We say no money in the world, nothing can ever possibly compensate for taking away a level of kedusha that a human being represents. And therefore, when you try and give money and try and compensate with that, you are doing flattery to the paradigm as if civilization is about enjoyment and about money. Therefore, says Moshe, Sachnifas Oretz. Which means, Rav Moshe has given us the concept over here of how the Torah values human life. Human life is about Chelik Elokai Mimal. It's about spirituality. It's about Chelik of HaKadosh Baruch Hu representing himself in this world. And therefore, we can now understand why it's so bad for a choreg b'shoigeg. Why is it so bad for a person who killed somebody with no intent? The answer is because if a person is able to come into a situation where somebody died, it means he did not pay enough care and attention to his surroundings around him. He would never have happened if it would have possibly given the right care and attention. And therefore, a person does not give care and attention to killing b'shoigeg is a person who has no relationship with reality of what Kedusha is all about. This person is a murderer. This person does not value a human life and ultimately does not appreciate and value any form of Kedusha. This person deserves to get Misa. This person is a Chayiv Misa. He does not appreciate human life, human worth, and Ribbono Shel Olam. That is the vot of Rosham Shana Fol Hish. He says that there's no such thing as a shoigeg. There's no such thing as somebody doing something unintentionally if he appreciates something enough. Mistakes only happen when a person does not value what they have. Carelessness only takes place when a person does not have the full appreciation. This is what's going on over here. He is chayiv misa. A person called b'shoigeg does not appreciate life. He is chayiv misa. We send him to Golos as a remedy, as an alternative to the Misa. Person without a home, on Ichoshev Kameis, is as if he's a dead person, he can go to Orem Mikla. But ultimately, he is a person who deserves to be killed. With this understanding, Ramosha Sternbuch, it's really, it says in the Maral as well, Chori, it says, Kumat, the same words in the Maral. This is Bishat when he said that they begilod shechiche roitzchim. We asked beforehand, why is the answer that in Gilod, Eva HaYarden, we have three Orem Miklot? Because in the Eva HaYarden, across the Yarden, there were shechiche roitzchim, there were many more murderers. The Orem Miklot is not for murderers. The answer is that of course it's not for murderers. Of course it is for people who killed b'shoigeg. But if one lives in a society where human life doesn't have the full measure of seriousness, is not appreciated to the extent that it should be, then not only do murders happen intentionally, but it washes over into the street. And the regular human being who is a well-meaning not murderer does not value human life either. If a person lives in society, he listens to the radio and he hears about this murder and that murder and this person intentionally, he will not drive as well, because to him, human life doesn't carry that much weight. And therefore, because in Gilad there were so many murderers, that is why the average person's street was numbed to the value of human life, and that is why the Misa B'Shogeg happened that much more often. And therefore, it's all about the concept of understanding and appreciating what a human being is. Even a person who doesn't keep Shomer Torah mitzvahs, it doesn't. A human being is a chelik elokim mal. He's a part of the Rabbeinu Shloim. A person who does not treat him in a full seriousness, he kills him b'shogeg, means he don't care. If you don't care, what it ultimately means is you're chayv misa. Now we can understand as well a little bit more what purpose there was for the Ritzeach to go to Ori Miklot. We asked beforehand, why is it that the Pasuk talks about the cities that should be given to the Levim, and includes in that, and by the way, within those cities were Ori Miklot, and then only afterwards it actually start talking about Ori Miklot. It would have been made a lot more sense if we would have first started to talk about Ori Miklot themselves, and say, ah, and by the way, some of these cities, or the Ori Miklot, belong to the Levim. Why do we introduce the Ori Miklot with Ori Levim rather than the other way? So listen to this beautiful chinuch. The mitzvah Tof Ches says a chinuch. Why is it that the Ritzeach B'Shogeg goes to the Ori Miklot? What's the idea behind that? Says a chinuch. An incredible vote. He says, how can we be sure that the Ritzeach B'Shogeg will be safe where he goes to? How can we know he can be sure? He can run to Ir Miklot and think he's running away from the Goel Hadam, from somebody who is a close relative to the victim that he killed, and he may not know that actually there's a cousin there in the city of the Ir Miklot. Yeah, there's a cousin there who'll kill him. So how can we be sure that this is a foolproof case where to go to Ir Miklot is going to actually save him? How are you going to do that? Maybe he's going to go to a place where there's an Ir Miklot and a person there will kill him. Says a chinuch, because the Torah says he should go to an Ir HaLevim, Levim have one factor that determines what they do. And that is Ratzon Hashem. The proof is, when it came to the Egel, es ochiv lo hikir, he did not recognize, if his brother served Avodah Zorah, he had no emotion that interfered with his obligation. Just family or friends made no difference to him. He was quite happy to go along, not quite happy, yeah, but he was able to go along and kill his own brother if that was what Rabbeinu Shlomo wanted. Says a chinuch, in that environment, if a person is in the Ori HaLevim, where the only factor that interests them is this permitted according to the Torah or not, irrelevant whether I have my emotions towards wanting to kill this person or not, this person will be absolutely safe. This Ritzeach will be absolutely safe. He could be living next door to a very close relative of the victim, but the victim will not kill him because Torah does not allow him to kill him. And therefore, just because his family, es ochiv lo hikir, will not recognize his family, quote-unquote, obligation, when the Torah says not to do so. That is why it goes to Ori HaLevim. The Ir Miklot was not only a punishment for the Ritzeach, it was an education system. It was a source of him relearning what he should be doing in life, where he should be going in life, and how to be surrounded by people whose only factor that interests them is Das Torah. Is what does the Torah want? The Torah, there's nothing that can possibly substitute for the education that Levim will give him. He can't work. He doesn't have family, unless the family move there, right? He can't leave. So he's going to go and learn. That's what Avraham Avinu is going to go back to the yeshiva, is going to go and learn. That re-education is going to bring him back to what a human being is, and to understand at that stage what Kedusha is, what Rabbeinu Shleilam is, what Torah is. That's what he's going to learn from the Levim. That is a vault, says as Nine Torah, why he goes back to the Or HaLevim. And therefore, that is why the Pasuk talks about the Or HaLevim as being the most crucial element of Ir Miklot. Ir Miklot is not a Ikar, the main thing, and it just happens to be in the city of the Levim. On the contrary, who do we send the Ritzeach to the Or HaLevim? Or HaLevim is the main factor over here. And the Mela, you have an Ir Miklot and Or HaLevim. Or HaLevim is a main factor, and that is why the Torah describes the Ir Miklot in the parasha of Levim rather than the other way. But there's a very, very beautiful Siva Shalom that adds a very beautiful Nakuda. He brings from a Rambam in Mor Nevuchim, Chedek Beis, Perigimel. B'sha shi Yehudi dovuk b'Hashem, when a Jew is connected to Rabbeinu Shleilom, yesh olav shmira elyona, he has a shmira that comes from Shemayim, v'lo ye'una loy kol ra, and it's not possible for him, for any bad to happen to him. V'rak im masik madvekus b'Hashem, only if he's able, only if he disconnects from Dveikus HaKadosh Baruch Hu, oz niteles haimenu hashmira v'hashkocha alyeno, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu's shmira gets taken away from him, v'itochen sheyikru lo kol minei mikrois, mikrim roim, then only any bad can happen to him. Now this is a famous concept of einoi b'vadoi. The Briskarov was escaping from under the noses of the Nazis, and he was, and one miracle after the other was happening, and he was almost caught. And he said to his group of them, Rabbeisai, somebody is not thinking about Einoi B'Vado over here. He had nothing but the Rabbeinu Shleilam. Think, and another miracle happened, and they managed to get saved. Einoi B'Vado means when a person is dovuk to the Rabbeinu Shleilam, when a person is connected to Rabbeinu Shleilam, it's not possible anything bad should happen to him. Not Beruchnius, and not Begashmius. Says in the Siva Shalom over here, how did this person possibly do an Avera B'Shegeg? How did that happen? There's no such thing as something just happening. It is because a Avera B'Shegeg doesn't happen if a person is connected to the Rabbeinu Shleilam. Because a person severed his tie with Dveikus HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that is how he did not have the Shmira, and that is how a terrible thing can happen, and that is how a Shegeg happened. But if he's reconnected with the Shmira, then again he's back into that level again. So he says that the Mibli Das over here means he killed Mibli Das, means he did not have the Das connected to Rabbeinu Shleilam. He says that the Or HaLevim, what's the source of the word Levi? Why is Levi called Levi? Hapam Yilave Ishti, my husband will accompany me. Levim represent accompaniment, going with Rabbeinu Shleilam. And therefore to go back to Or HaLevim is a re-education process, to be surrounded by people who are totally focused on relationship with Rabbeinu Shleilam. They don't have to work, they don't have to bring in a living, they're totally connected to Rabbeinu Shleilam. Yeah, Shevet Levi, like the Pasuk says, Ani chelkecho v'nachlosecho, I am their chelik, I am who they care about. And therefore to be surrounded by people who are connected to the Rabbeinu Shleilam is the tikkun of one who is disconnected from the Rabbeinu Shleilam and allowed through that a shegig to happen. Now how's that relevant to us? So he says, he brings from the Chassidus Rebbes, he says the Oiv Yisrael, the Abder Rav, and the Beis Avraham says that, say that this same Sifri Chassidim, he says the Sheish Ari Miklot are six represent six words. The Ari Miklot represent the Sheish Ari Miklot represent the Sheish Milim, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echod. What's Peshat? Adkan, that's what the Sifri Chassidim say. That the Orim Miklot, the Sheish Orim are connected to the six words. What's Peshat? So the Abder Rav says that this, that the only way a person can possibly do anything wrong, even a Shegeg, is if he has disconnection from the Rabbeinu Shleilam. If he has disconnection to the Rabbeinu Shleilam, then one has to come back to the Rabbeinu Shleilam. One has to have a Munan B'Tochen HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he is everything. And therefore, if a person did avera b'shogeg, if a person disconnected from the Ribbono Shel Olam, and now he's being chased by the Satan who wants to punish him, he's being chased by the Yetzer Hara wanting to make more averas, he's got to run back to the Arei Miklat and run back to Munim B'tochen to Ribbono Shel Olam and reconnect with the Koich of Ribbono Shel Olam. That's why you bring a korban. A person that does something b'shogeg, he brings a korban. A korban means hiskarvus, reconnection to the Ribbono Shel Olam. This is the parasha of Arei Miklat. Arei Miklat teaches us that a person who killed b'shogeg cannot be put into the category of no intent. How can you blame him? A person who does not appreciate clearly what a human being is, if a person is able to kill somebody b'shogeg, then this person is obliged to go through a misa. Why? Because ultimately he has no appreciation of the most important elements of life, and that is the Ribbono Shel Olam, connecting to the Ribbono Shel Olam and seeing a human being as a chelik elokai mimal. Every human being is a chelik elokai mimal. Rav Weinberg used to say, even you know the Africans with a bone through the nose is a chelik elokai mimal. He's a tzelem elokim, and we have to appreciate and give respect to every human being. May not have to appreciate what they do. There could be a chaytim and toyim nebuch, but appreciation that the chelik elokai mimal and be moisa nefesh for them. And if a person doesn't do that, then he's missing the point and he is chayv misa. How do we bring him back? We bring him back through an education process of being amongst Bnei Torah, connecting to what the values of Torah are, connecting to the Kedusha of Torah and connecting to Ribbono Shel Olam, and also being surrounded by people who are totally dovuk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If a person offends somebody, I didn't mean to offend you, it was careless, because if a person meant to be very careful to make sure it doesn't offend, he wouldn't have offended that person. You know, when a person gets engaged, he writes letters, right? Some letters to the colour, the what colour writes letters to the chosam. They can spend hours, yeah? If I write that word, is it too strong? Is it too weak? You know, will they think the wrong thing? And they can write, mamish, it can take hours on the letter. And when they come home after a long day, they can just blurt out whatever they want. And I didn't mean to, oh, come on, you know. No, there's a lack of appreciation, there's a lack of care. And therefore, if you cared enough, it wouldn't offend the other person, even if what you would call it as a mistake. There's no mistakes if you care enough. That's a parasha of Arei Miklat. It is caring about the individual. It is caring about the relationship with Ribbono Shel Olam and making sure that Chas V'Shalom we're not disconnected from that. Because if we're disconnected to the value of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we don't have the connection with human beings enough, and we're able to sin. I just want to finish off with one beautiful vort from Yaakov Naiman, my favorite vort. Yaakov Naiman says there's a halacha that a Talmud Shagolah, the Gemara says, if a Talmud goes into Golos, Megalin Rabbi Imoy, you take, the Rebbe goes with him. And I said this vort in the past, and just, the vort is such a powerful vort. Which means, let's say, Chalila, a person is in the yeshiva of 1,000 Bochrim, and this boy didn't have the connection with Ribbono Shel Olam as strongly that he should have had. He didn't have, and he's able to do a very b'shogeg. He didn't value human life as much, and he did a very b'shogeg. And now the halacha is, he has to go to Golos. He kills someone b'shogeg, he's got to go to Golos. Says the Torah, if he goes to Golos, he's got to go to Ori HaLevim. He's got to go to the city of the Levim. What do the Levim do the whole day? They're professional Magidei Shia. Yeah? They teach Torah. Says the Gemara, no. But a Talmud Shagala Megalin Rabbi Imoy. You've got to send the Rabbi with him. His Rebbe has got to pack his bags and go to Golos with his Talmud. And that's Puskin and the Rambam. That's a halacha. Ask Rabbi Yaakov Naiman, why? If it's an education process, if it's to give him back the values of life, to give the values of Torah back to this person, send him to Ori HaLevim. You find another yeshiva there, what's the problem? Why do you have to send him his Rebbe? So he says, because the Torah says, Eloshen, V'nos al-achas, V'nos shomer itzeach makin nefesh b'shkogo, sorry, one second, it says, V'nos al-achas ha-orim ha-eile v'choy, and he should go to one of these places, v'choy, and he should live. The Loshen is, Asoy l'kidei sheyichya, says Rambam, do that he could live. From here we learn a chazal, we learn a klal, that if a Talmud has a yeshiva if a Talmud has an alternative program he could go to, if a Talmud has Sfarim around him, but if he does not have his Rebbe, he does not have his Derech, he does not have his Chaverim who are going to help him learn, he is not V'choy, he is not living. Second best in Ruchnius is death. It's not V'choy. Since we have an obligation to make sure that he lives, we've got to make sure that he lives properly. And the only way he's living is only if he has his environment that he's used to. Without his environment, without his Rebbe, without what he loves, he is not living. And we have an obligation to make sure he does live. This is life. Life is not about, said Ramesh, about the Sachnifa Sa'or, it's about civilization. Life is not about, you know, there was one story once Ramotcha Gifter once asked Tishir a very, very difficult kasha from Akiva Eiger. And one bocher, without even thinking, wanted to give a teretz. And Ramotcha Gifter exploded. He says, what, you sit with one leg over the other and then drink da Pepsi? And you drink a Pepsi and you wants geben a teretz of Akiva Eiger. You want to give a teretz of Akiva Eiger? Ah, chutzpah! You know, you're connected to your Pepsi and you have a right to give your opinion in Torah about Rabbi Akiva Eiger. It irritated him. So Sachnifa Sa'aretz is an appreciation of society, of what I can enjoy out of life in a basic, secular, Western world. Lo Sachnifa Sa'aretz. What we have to do is appreciate what Chaim is all about, is connection to the Rebbein Shloim, is connection to Torah, is another vort, is another appreciation of another human being. And that is what the parasha is all about. And if we can do that, and we can actually build that up, then we can possibly work on the Avas Chinom of the 3 weeks, and Be'ez Hashem we can be Zoicha to have back what we lost so dearly, the Beis Hamikdash, and real Shalom amongst all of us.
Amen.